Councilmember.
Okay, welcome everybody. I'm going to officially call to order the Town of Heath Select Board meeting. Today is Tuesday, March 31st, end of March 2026. And we're going to call the meeting to order at 4:31 PM, same time as last week. The meeting is being audio recorded. And let's see, reviewing the agenda, we have some consent items and then we have some appointments. We have a 5 o'clock appointment with Rick Martin from Franklin County Tech. Art's here too. Hi, Art.
Hi, Art.
5:30, the Finance Committee will come in if they're not already here by that time. And then we're going to have a discussion about the budget, the warrants, all that kind of fun stuff. Select Board has some other items. We're going to move some of those up to knock out here between 4:30 and 5. I'm going to talk about the Town of Colerain vehicle and some lease agreements, next steps. And that's really all for tonight. Anything else, Will?
No.
Alisa?
No, thank you.
Mia?
Pole installations on Avery Brook Road and elementary school sign.
What?
You're talking, what?
Elementary school sign.
Sign and pole installations on Avery Brook Road.
An elementary school sign?
Question's been.
Old elementary school sign.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be.
That still says elementary school.
So the sign up on Jacobs Road.
Yeah, that one.
All right, so we're going to start with the minutes. All right, everybody. We're taking a look at the Town of Heath Select Board meeting minutes for Tuesday, March 24th, 2026. Will?
I had nothing.
Alisa?
Yes. I do have two things. On the first page at the top, when we're talking about all those present, and you list the folks. After Madison's name, I'm thinking it might be good to say that she's the Greenfield reporter.
Oh, yes.
For now. For then.
I actually remember thinking
for then,
about that.
For then.
I don't know why I didn't do it.
You know, because we're delineating who Liam is and blah, blah, blah. So I thought that would be good for Madison. And then, where was it? On page 2. Under the Highway Department, discussion of paving options, about halfway down the paragraph, when we're talking about, Tyson has already gotten the town on the books for Colerain stage, I would find it helpful if we listed what was going to be happening on Colerain stage road. We do talk about what's happening on number 9 and then on Sumner Stenson, but we're not saying what's happening at Colerain.
Okay.
Stage. Does that make sense?
So I can have that it's like going to be the ship's deal with the binder. And
right, whatever it is, that would be helpful for me for
okay.
Reference. Those were the only two I have.
I can't believe you do.
No way!
You guys pick up every typo.
Oh, what did I miss?
How about down at FY 27 budget general discussion? Salaries, police department.
No. So you see, they are typos. That is exactly
how it's written.
It's written in the budget and in VADAR.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll let it go.
Wait, I'm not even saying where are what page are we on? Where?
On the page we're still on.
Uh-huh. Down at the bottom where it's FY 27
yeah.
budget general discussion.
Yeah. Yeah. Salaries, I guess it's written as police department instead of police department.
Oh,
I did
got you.
The date today. We can change some of those.
That we can change it to make it right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to work on
but above that, in the annual town meeting,
mm-hmm.
Second sentence, spoken with council who had opined, not recommended, that the town could remove.
Nice.
That's it. So, can I have a motion, please, to accept the Town of Heath Select Board meeting minutes for Tuesday, March 24th, 2026 as amended.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Alisa, aye.
Will, aye.
Robin, aye. Wonderful. Check it off. At the end, we will sign some accounts payable and payroll warrants. Right, you have those today?
Yes.
Okay. So let's do some of the other items we have here. Town of Coleraine surplus police cruiser. We asked for and received commentary on the work that was done on the cruiser. And then, Will, you went and took a look.
We did. And also test drive, or should I say, because of insurance reasons, Nick had it right. But I rode along with him. And we basically went over every imaginable road in Heath, not in Heath, but Coleraine, mud, dirt, paved, and otherwise, at various speeds. And determined that the car in general was in good working order, and the all-wheel drive clearly worked. It certainly performs very well because it does have the police interceptor engine, so it gets places in a hurry should that be needed. I did notice a hum, particularly you notice it on paved roads, that was basically correlated with speed. And it sounds like to me, just from my own experience in the past, is it might be a wheel bearing that probably will have to be addressed at some point. I also noticed that in crawling underneath as much as I could, you can see that the tires that are on there are worn to a point where they may not make it through the next inspection. You can see the wear marks on them. And also the exhaust system, while intact, is pretty corroded. And eventually that'll have to be addressed. Also the police chief who was available, Coraine police chief was available at the end of our inspection. He did mention that he thought that there was an extra set of tires that went with that car. I have no idea as to what the condition is. He just says, we have this extra set of tires. So that might be, if they're new, that's great. I do not know, but he did mention that. I mentioned the tires were worn. The other thing that came up was the lights right now are police, they're blue. For the fire department, they need to be red. And my understanding is you do not have to replace the whole light bar, which can be very expensive. You can replace them at kind of the module level. I guess they're LEDs or I don't know. So that expense hopefully won't be that big a deal. I don't know how much it'll cost, but it won't all cost basically replacing the whole light bar. Radios come right out of the old car. That's no big deal. It's all wired. I also asked Nick about storing fire equipment and things like chainsaws and oxygen, you know, air bottles and stuff like that. And we looked at the back and there's a lockable cabinet, presumably it was for firearms originally, but he said that would be useful. Also, it's a no frills back. There's no, you know, there's no upholstery really or anything like that. So you don't have to worry about putting dirty stuff in there. Including the, I guess the cage stays too. It's got the back seat with like, it's fiberglass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've never ridden on that end of a police car. But I got a good look at it.
Good to hear, Will.
So that's, so basically overall it's a pretty good car. But there are these things that I found that could cost some money.
Well, thank you for doing that.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Good info.
Now, where do we, what is our next step? We have to work on that.
Our next step would be working on the MOU and bill of sale and telling them if we would like them to replace or look at the wheel bearing or if we would like them to see if they were set of tires or how we're going to do the lighting. I think it would be best to.
Also, I believe it's out of inspection. It was last expired back in September. Last year. So.
Okay.
Who's pulling a cop car over to tell me that inspection site?
We had a memorandum of understanding that we wanted to add a little more information to.
Oh, yes.
Right? I'm not sure we've received that, so that would be part of the next step as well, correct?
Well, they did send the draft.
I saw something come back, but I wasn't able to compare it to what we previously had, so I didn't know if.
We don't have any.
That's it.
No, that's it.
Yeah.
So we haven't asked.
No, we haven't gone back and said.
You did last time, I thought we had a few points to.
Oh, we have a lot of points, we do.
Oh, we did, but we were like, well, first, we wanna make sure that.
It's in good shape.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, or decent shape, or whatever shape, before we proceeded any further. I guess this is to be worked out in the memorandum, but is still the plan that it's going to be owned by the town of Heath? I'm a little confused, because I've been hearing otherwise. About, out and about.
Well, maybe they are talking about wanting to own it themselves, and they just haven't told us that yet. I don't know, I mean, I haven't heard anything otherwise.
So I think we have to.
If we're not gonna own it, why would we pay for it?
Right.
Right. Well, I thought the original was that we were gonna own it, they were gonna outfit it.
Yeah.
Which still is a little odd, but that was all gonna be in the memorandum.
Right.
So, can you confirm, I guess we need to make sure we're moving forward with the plan before we actually ask them to do any more work to it. You know what I'm saying, like.
Right, so do you think Nick felt comfortable moving forward with the plan?
I asked him that, I said, is this vehicle going to work for you, and he said, yes.
Okay.
So I think we can, from that standpoint, we can.
So I think though, I think it would be good to make sure that the basis of our understanding is the basis of their understanding.
Right.
Maybe the wording, everything has to be tweaked and gone through, but I just, can you just confirm with them that our initial understanding is still this understanding that.
That we're gonna own it and they're gonna outfit it?
Yeah, and. That way, what you said? We're gonna own it.
And they're gonna outfit it.
And they'll outfit it, yeah, okay. Wait a minute, how'd you say that?
I'd also like to add a little bit of humor, if I may, to this whole thing. When we're riding around, all these people were waving at us. And I thought, boy, they don't know me. And it occurred to me, I'm in a cop car.
Were you sitting in the back?
No.
You should have been. That's funny. That's a surge. Heath Slick Board.
Heath Fire Chief drives Heath Slick Board member in back of police car for Uncle Brandon.
And then I think that when we are have really put the warrant to bed, we have to really start looking at how what's that it's gonna look like. That memorandum, we have to start fine-tuning it more than what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody has to look at it and start plugging in some of their thoughts or concerns or questions.
Okay.
Comments.
What does that have to do with the warrant, though?
I'm just saying that the most important thing right now for us is to get the warrant done.
Oh, I see what you mean. After the warrant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once we're really to the point where we can take a breath and focus on that, we need to focus on it.
Oh, definitely.
I should also mention the police chief, if Coleraine mentioned that he would start, I guess the decals, you can take them off with a heat gun, and he would start with that after their select board met, presumably that is once they come to the ring with us.
Yes,
so.
Yeah, okay. I guess you could also ask them to confirm about the tires, that's just whether they're looking for them or not, right?
For that extra set of payment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they might have.
Yeah, confirm and see what kind of condition they're in.
Okay. And maybe our homework is to everybody look at that draft that they sent and start flagging your thoughts. Okay, great. And let's do lease, what do we got for leases? Well, we know Hilltown Youth has been submitted to Jonathan. They haven't had an opportunity yet to finalize their review. And I think Laura's been sick.
I don't know if Laura's been sick, maybe.
She was for a while. They remember him putting that among the notes.
Maybe he did. And well, he was on vacation.
Again. And then he was on vacation. I think she was sick, but he was on vacation, so. Sounded like by a couple weeks they needed. It didn't sound like there was a lot, though, that they were going to be questioned.
No, I think they said all their edits were to Appendix A.
Yeah, I think they were good with the body of it from the sounds.
Okay, is that something for Appendix A?
And that they were going to bring a check for April 1st.
Yeah, even
okay.
though it hasn't been. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're up to date other than that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even with the
block
rentals? Yeah.
Yep.
So they were going to bring a check for April 1.
He said right off. He was just getting back to town, so I think you'll see him this week.
Yeah, he said he just hadn't had a chance to review it in depth yet. And
great.
But he'll bring a check April 1st regardless of where
we're at.
Yeah.
So. Wonderful. He should be here this week. I think he just got back over the weekend or something.
Okay.
And Valerie, she's kind of taking it from there. What do we got with Valerie? Where are we? Insurance.
Insurance-wise, all looks good. Our insurance, Maya, confirmed that we shouldn't ever add the people that lease from us as additional insured.
We should not.
We
shouldn't. They should be.
Right.
They need
to add us.
The town.
Confirmed, just for Valerie, because she was worried about it, that if we started a fire, we would pay for stuff.
Not if we started a fire.
Well, not if
fire,
we started a fire.
Let's rephrase, please.
If the fire was caused by someone that wasn't her, in her space, or something in her space, I should say, then
there was a fire.
She wouldn't be liable for it herself.
Right, and Maya said they have third-party coverage.
Yeah, so we don't have to worry about that.
Okay.
But she seemed okay with that. She said that all of the other... She was working with her insurance company. They were almost done getting a price.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Nick goes, Nick said that a flammable cabinet is definitely going to be required, but that there's a lot of like background fire code and regulations that are pretty sticky. He's been calling around to, the fire regulations people in the state.
NFPA.
Yeah. That's the
getting their opinion on things. They've been going back and forth. He's been sending me daily updates. He just is still waiting for stuff. It's funky because we're requiring that she host 3 public classes as part of her lease. It's no longer just a private studio space. Now the public are going to be in there. So now there's additional requirements for storage of those materials, the quantity that she can have, ventilation in the room. We did get offered to use the air purifier that's in the basement of the community hall right now in there. Apparently it's big enough, I've never seen it, but apparently it's big enough to handle those kinds of fumes. I did bring that up to Nick, but he said that he was still going back and forth with the NFPA.
But how does it, my question is, and I suppose this is a Nick question, is we talked about this as we were driving the police car around, that, you know, certain fumes you really have to exhaust outside of the building.
That's what I was thinking too. I mean,
you
don't really...
If you're using polyurethane...
Yeah, I can't in my head picture how an air purifier would remove polyurethane from the air, but I'm not a scientist, so I don't know.
It removes particles, is my understanding.
Yeah, but I don't think we'd take away the flammable...
Yeah. I mean, you know, it does submicron particles and goes through filters. And,
I don't know.
So I think there's a little more to do it than that.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is going to be. The only thing that we know for sure is that she's definitely going to need to purchase one of those yellow flammable cabinets that you were talking about.
Yep, absolutely.
Expensive? Do we know?
You've given a couple prices.
Yeah, they vary. I mean, the ones in my shop, I paid $100 for one, got the other one free, but that was by luck. Usually they run for used on, you see them on Marketplace for $300-$400 for a 45-gallon. I can't believe she'd need 45 gallons. She could probably get away with 30 gallons.
Yeah.
So it would be $200-$300.
Right.
And then the other thing is the metal trash cans with a NFPA approved. They're basically the ones with a foot pedal and the lid comes up and then the lid seals. So you deal with any spontaneous combustion, things like linseed oil, you know.
I think there's another question too. I want to say Nick brought it up in one of his back and forth emails, which we're obviously hoping is not a requirement, but at some point somebody had brought up, I don't know if it was in his conversations with some other chiefs that he was talking to, somebody had said to him at some point, but he was going to check into it, that if you have those chemicals, you need a sprinkler system or something like that, which we obviously don't have in there. So I don't know. We'll see what he says, but for now.
It also, I'm speculating now, but it may be quantity driven if you aren't.
That's what he was saying too.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much she has.
Right.
Or how often she'd be using it, I guess. So we'll see.
Heath Historical?
Nowhere on those yet. I haven't gotten those.
Or great. Okay, so we'll come back around on those. And the school sign, the X school sign.
So I didn't know this, but Phil was kindly taken to working on this project behind the back. Told Barfie that he needed to do the sign. So highway, he hasn't started it yet apparently.
No.
So highways.
I'd like to know what it's gonna cost, what the quote is.
I know, I didn't know any of this was even happening until today, so apparently Highway Department's pulling it out of the ground tomorrow, though. Because he wants to try to reuse the sign part.
That I remember.
Right. I mean, the last conversation we had was months ago, and it was talking about a possible design.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of talked with her about the design.
I did.
Oh, yeah. Are you asking that with a question or a statement?
No, saying. I did, and then I even had, like, months later, I was like, wait a minute, that's not going to work, and I followed up with her, but then we've never seen anything more,
I
so I'd like to
I know other than what I was told today.
And what were you told today? Highway's
just
taking
that.
Him tomorrow.
I was, and that she told Clarky that he needed it done by May 1st.
What?
Well, it'd be good if you could follow up, I think, or... Yeah, I think we need to know how much, what is the final design. You guys
yes.
make a back and forth about that, but I don't remember what
it
was.
It wasn't a lot. So yeah, I think we need to know what the design is and what the cost is before
he does too much work to
it. We tell him it needs to be done by May 1.
Right. I will warn the bigger group.
Thank you. And National Grid.
So...
is this something more than what's been going on?
Yeah. So I did that email telling them that they were not giving us advance enough notice for the road closures.
Yep.
For anybody listening, we had told them we wanted, like, what was it, like a week and a half at a minimum in advance.
Closer to two.
Highway
weeks.
And
right.
Police department.
Correct.
So far, every single road closure, at least the select board has not been notified, and everything except for yesterday when Tyson was notified after the road was already closed, Tyson was notified. So I talked with Bob today and yesterday, multiple times today, and apparently every Wednesday the guy from Asplund, who's an electrical contractor, calls John and kind of goes over the plan for the week and where they're going to be,
mm-hmm.
What they expect for closures, for details, whatever. Obviously that didn't happen when John told us about those issues he was having, but they're going to have the guy from Asplund send it in an email rather than a phone call, and have Highway and the Board of Selectmen email CC on everything that goes to John every Wednesday. So that'll be good. They did ask, however, if there was a way that we could somehow put out some sort of notice that they're gonna try to be in and out for in 45 days, and to just, unless you live on Avery Brook Road, avoid it, because pretty much every day there's gonna be some sort of detail, some sort of road closure. I don't know how we do that though. I mean, it's not like a...
Well, I think it's okay to notify people that the work's happening over the next 2 months.
Right.
So that people know, and that people will expect to have road closures.
Right, so avoid it if you can. I mean,
yeah, I think that that's okay to do.
Okay.
I think so.
For
a
school bus.
Well, the school bus is...
They'll go up.
Yeah.
Burlington.
They don't have anybody to pick up or drop off on Avery Brook.
Not that I know of. It looks like they need to get to the center of town.
Oh, okay, all right. So
the morning one, I never see, I don't think they stop. They just, one travels one road and one travels the other.
Okay. And they're working now
based on just
Britain's
like.
Kismaskis, how do you say it?
Sorry?
Kismaskis, yeah. Yeah.
They're working with them directly to try to coordinate stuff,
yeah,
on their end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I asked about that today, so we'll see how that goes.
So I think it's fair to send out some email blasts and blasts. Put it on your whatever, the Facebook and Ash, and hopefully get it out there. And just as, you know, a friendly reminder, your time is here, and they're coming, the polls are coming, and 2 months. But obviously, if we get 2 weeks of rain, it's going to be bumped 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So everybody has to be patient and understanding, and. And there's days the road has to close because there's just no, there's not enough room in some of those sections for their truck and somebody else to pass it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll be done.
Huh.
Oh, so many questions.
Yeah. So many questions.
No, hands raised in the
audience.
Oh.
How many?
Not
I see one.
Of
I just see Barbara.
No, I thought there was others. Sorry.
Oh, Barbara?
Just to add to notifications, Conservation Commission was also supposed to be notified at least a week ahead of their work. So in that list of notifications, they should be added. It's in their
order of conditions.
Yes, it is, which I reviewed today.
I'll find it, but what was the, do you know what the purpose of that was?
I'm not sure, but they probably want to be monitoring their work. And in fact, I was on the phone today with Jean Charles, who had left a card with me, because we were told that they would not be using any fill when they were putting in new poles, which with Conservation Commission, there was discussion about this, about how they were going to be doing this work sensitively, and they are bringing in fill and using it, and the concern is about bringing in jumping worms.
There was a condition in their order of conditions that they could bring in local fill.
Yes, exactly.
And they are bringing it. So I did talk to Bob about that today. They're bringing it from Delta in Sunderland, and that's
no, they were told Charlemont.
Well, so according to Bob, it says local. I'll look at the order of conditions, but I mean, we can take that up with CONCOM and they can.
As I say, CONCOM can deal with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you just want to alert Bob to make sure he's in touch with CONCOM.
Yeah, I mean, he called me today to say that he doesn't think that they're doing anything wrong, so we'll have to.
As long as he follows up with us and agree with that, then all will be good.
Yeah.
That CONCOM can deal with that.
I agree.
Of course, they think nothing's wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway, I ask that they sort that out, and that they also transmit that information to Verizon when Verizon ultimately comes to remove the duplicate poles. because I think there's issues with chain of communication. And Verizon is the one that's responsible for removing the poles, and then they're going to be filling. So make sure that the fill is coming from an acceptable location according to CONCOM.
So hopefully CONCOM follows up with them if there are issues. And
I mean, somebody has to report the issues to the CONCOM.
We can report what was said here, and that's
about it.
It.
Past that.
Right, correct. So we can do that and just say in one of our meetings, this is what we were informed and follow up if that's within your purview at this point based on the other conditions.
Thank you.
You can do that. All right. Very good. So, 502. Hi, Rick.
How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you.
So,
set up front so that Art.
I grab a seat. Can I just kind of go over there?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
So
and then, the finance
committee.
Okay.
Wonderful boy.
Sure.
Thank you.
So, the meeting's being audio recorded, which they always are, just reminding people.
Okay.
And finance committee is. One of you is here already. Hi, Ned.
Hi.
Grab a seat.
Can I just grab a seat?
Yeah.
Over here?
Yeah. So for everybody at home, Rick Martin is here for the Franklin County Tech. We're going to have a conversation. Art's here. Hi, Art.
Howdy.
How are you?
Good. I got four of these, so I should have brought five.
How's everyone doing today?
We're good.
Tonight I'm providing a brief overview of where we are in the budget as it relates to heat. And I hand out some budget books. However, generally there's a screen and a PowerPoint so you get to see the links and all that stuff. But now you get the added bonus of seeing it on my 12-inch laptop. All right, so. It's a treat, and it's all on me. I just want to start off by going through the budget book. And when you do that, there's a table of contents, as you can see. But when you get on the screen here, the table of contents, everything is clickable. So if you click on something, it will take you right to that page or a description of some information to that. So there's over 300 links in this. So when you receive it via email, which you should have we sent it to all the town offices via the email. So if you can't sleep at night, it's a great tool to put you right to bed, and you'll be all set. So I'm going to start with the most important part of the budget. Let's talk money, right? So all the links and external links are important because they not only help you guide our budget, but they can give you information relating to every single town in the state, any other school district, any other budget. So we're gonna show you tonight all our money, where it comes from, so that you know we're not just pulling the numbers out of thin air. Well, the first part of that, when we have to go on your booklet, you would go down to page 13. So on your booklet, you start at page 13, you'll see the assessment to the towns, and then the top part of that colored screen there is how we receive our money. So that's the top part of the screen, is how we receive it. We receive it through about 11 sources: assessments to town, debt services, Chapter 70 aid, regional transportation aid, non-member towns, tuition from our pre-employment program, other revenues, and our excess and deficiencies, which is a town's free cash. So that's how we receive our money. What I want to point you to is, what does it mean for the town of Heath? So when I look at, when I click on that, and I got to click, I love clicking, right? So when I click on that per pupil chart, it will take me right to the chart. What's highlighted in yellow on my screen, 12 inches, is the town of Heath, right? On your booklets, you gotta go search for it. And what page that's on is, just like, page 48. So page 48 in your booklets, follow along, you gotta be quicker than that.
It's next to last page.
All right, so the town of Heath, where it's trending, it's got a 4-year trend here. So enrollment has gone from October 2022 with 8 students, then it went up to 11, then 13, and this next year is 19. One thing that has changed in the town of Heath is I follow the per pupil expenditures, which are given to us by the state. As you have noticed, the minimum contributions aren't quite what they used to be. As far as the state reimbursement back to the towns, those figures have gone up. And because our enrollment has gone up, our tuition per pupil has gone down. So what's remarkable is that Heath is at $9,243 per pupil. If you average that out to the other regionals, they're around $17,000 per pupil. Here in Mohawk, I think it's about $14,000 and change. So that's really nothing to do with anything any school's doing right or wrong. It's just based on enrollment. And that's it. It's strictly based on enrollment going up or down. And so the total assessment for the town of Heath for this year, the FY27 is the second to last column there. That's the $175,613 number. And then you can see your minimum contribution is $156,038 at the far left of that. So that gives you an idea what to budget for, what's gonna come from the town meeting that we got coming up in probably about a month or so from now. The other part of it you should know is that we have this new lottery system, all right? So how did that impact the town of Heath? Well, fortunately for Heath, it didn't really impact them too much. You only get 2 slots a year, so you get a total of 8 slots, right? So that's what the DESE's good wisdom put on this, is 2 slots. However, any unused slots from other towns can get reallocated to those towns that still have people on the enrollment list. So for the town of Heath, 6 students applied. All 6 got in. That's good to hear. That's not the case in all towns, but all 6 of them got in because of the reallocation of the lottery. So so for next year, just so you can plan ahead, right now we have 19 total students for the town of Heath, in which there are 3 graduating in June. That drops it down to 16. If you add the 6 who just got in, the following year's assessment, you already now know, would be, 22. All right, so that's how the math would work out. Based on the enrollment figures that are in your budget book, if I could turn to page, I'll just give you a page number, it would be easier for the budget book. If I can just give you a page number of page 42. So not too far from where you just were. Page 42 is a fancy little bar chart. Basically what it tells you is everything in blue is the number of available eighth graders within all of Franklin County. The orange line is the number of freshmen who enrolled in Franklin County Tech. And so that fluctuates kind of like the same level as the bar above. So we have about 30% of that whole catchment area attends Franklin County Tech freshman year. In this past year, we had 172 freshmen. And then back in 2015-16, there was 132. But the argument here is that we've taken a much higher percentage back in 2015-16 than we have today. Well, how does that make sense, Mr. Martin? That's 132 versus 172. Is because out of that 132, we only had 147 applicants. Out of that 172, we had 288 applicants. So the percentages were dramatically different. So you get an idea on how that, and that's all in the charts. It's, and then when you click on links, it tells you all about it. Real interesting stuff. Great to bet on that one. And then on the chart, as far as what I would like to go back to, while you're in this bottom half of the screen, I don't usually do it like this, just to make it easier for the select board. I would like to go to what the capital assessments have been for the old windows, doors, roof, and paving project back more than a decade ago. What the town, you have 1.16% of that total project, which equates to $2,398. That fluctuates every 2 years according to the EQV, and they recalculate population, relative wealth, all of that information. And when they do that, I think yours fluctuated just a little bit, maybe $50. It doesn't fluctuate a lot every 2 years. It goes up or down about $50. So that's where that is. Another interesting note is when you look at your per pupil expenditures at $9,232 per pupil, it wasn't too long ago you were up at $13,000 or $14,000. So that all that means is, according to the relative wealth, is one or two people just happen to move out of town. That's it. It's and it throws the numbers off dramatically. And while we're down in this neck of the woods, I'm going to go to chapter 70 on page 40. So. Yes.
So you're saying if we had more, if we had less children going, the per pupil would be higher?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because there's a set number divided by how many kids. And
correct.
Okay.
Right. And it's not just Heath. It's our total enrollment gets calculated into that too. And there's a formula the state won't share with me. So I'm not exactly clear on that, but you're right on point. As far as chapter 70 goes, we're in hold harmless, like many of the schools. Even though you hear the enrollment going up, our enrollment the previous year was 591. It dropped to 579, minus 12 total. So we are in hold harmless until we reach above that 591 mark. And as that's a familiar term to everyone else, but just to give an idea what that's about, basically we are getting state aid at the equivalent of that 591 that we previously had. So that's what they do. My concern when I see that, and I got out of it, started, and this is our first year we've been in it for about 8 or 9 years, is we always have to look at reductions in force, unfortunately. The hard decisions have to be made when that happens. Because when you're in hold harmless, your teacher-student ratios are changing, right? They're getting smaller. So if you're not adjusting to that, then you're gonna get so far away from that benchmark to get out of hold harmless. Pretty soon it's just dollars after dollars and you can never reach that goal of getting out of it. Why is it important to get out of it? Because if I was at 500, we're right now at 590, at 579, I'm only gonna be receiving $100 or $75 per people extra from the state. That's all we get, about $40,000 more, $50,000 more. So when you look at our chapter 78, it's gone up about $48,000 from the previous year. Not much. If I was at 600, just 9 kids, my state aid would go up $11,500 times 9, so almost 100 grand more. So just going up a few, then the importance of getting out of hold harmless is critical to the stability of that. So that's just other thoughts. There's a whole paragraph in the budget book about that, so you'll be able to take a look at that when you get through it. Again, for those in the audience, we used to present this on a screen, but I'm making the best I can with this nice big large laptop. So in chapter 70, I'm going to go back now to the sources of funding, which is on that page 13. And the second item is that debt service, that windows, doors, and windows, doors project from way back, chapter 70 we reviewed. Regional transportation, that number came right out of the cherry sheet. So the cherry sheet that's in the budget book, or you find it online, there's a nice little link when you go to the cherry sheet on page 48 of the budget book, and you click it, it will take you directly to the Department of Revenue's figures. So you'll see the exact numbers in our budget book, what you can find in the Department of Revenue's figures for both regional transportation and Chapter 70. That's important for transparency. Because, you know, in my town, I serve on this seat, and I get concerned how I see figures a little bit different. All right? So when I look at the next one, the state aid transportation, we're still short. It's $959,000. But if you go to the bottom part of that, you'll see regional transportation on number four. That's how we spend it. You'll see $1.3 million almost. So where's the extra $400,000 coming from? It's coming from the taxpayers, as opposed to what the state regulations said, that they'll fund regional transportation at 100%. Well, they haven't quite held that promise. So that's unfortunate. Other than that, I pick no bones with that. That's on them. See, I'm in my retirement year. I can say what I want, right? So, then we have our non-member towns. That's item number five in your budget book. That non-member towns is how we can help offset the decrease in assessments from Chapter 70, and especially our insurance. Everyone's heard about the insurance problems that everyone's having. It's different depending on what you have, but we are under the Hampshire Trust. And so we had, a year ago, we had a 20% increase right out of the gate. We had a mid-year 20% increase, and they were going to put another 20% increase on us. How do you recover for $1.2 million that wasn't budgeted for? It's impossible. So that is why we are in a situation we are reducing in force a little bit to help compensate. We're taking more money from our non-member towns to help offset the assessment so we don't have to come here and be able to do that. We do not receive rural aid, which is a great avenue of a resource. So if a brother goes to Frontier and their sister attends Franklin County Tech, because the sister chose to attend Franklin County Tech, we get no rural aid. Makes no sense. We're the same exact demographics. But I've been fighting I've been fighting the legislator and everything on that. I'll still continue to fight that. That's just not an equity thing. It does help. It hurts our towns, because now the town's going to come up with more money for regional transportation. If they just funded rural aid, that $1.3 million you wouldn't have to pay. I mean, because you get reimbursed $959,000, so it would be $400,000. Well, the rural aid percentage would be at least above that. So that's unfortunate.
And the other schools that get that rural aid get significant amounts of it.
Correct. I'm just asking for $400,000 just to cover the regional transportation costs that they promised. I'm not looking for anything extra. I'm looking at what they promised. The other part of that is we got some tuition from PEP. You'll notice $100,000 in that line item. Our membership went up there. That's a self-contained specialized program for students with intellectual disabilities. And that we pull $100,000 to help offset the budget from there. We have other revenues of $25,000. We are a vocational technical school, so often we have old equipment that gets auctioned off. Where does that money from the auction go? Back into the budget, all right? The excess and deficiencies is the town's free cash, but it's our money that's unexpended from the previous year. That has had a significant drop of almost $150,000, because as budget comes tighter, we're spending more of that money. If you ever want to know how we got to $533,747, there's a nice little transparency click here where you can click on the excess and deficiencies, scroll down to the explanation, click on the excess and deficiencies Department of Revenue website, click on jurisdiction, which is just scroll down to Franklin County Tech or whatever other town you want to look up how they're spending their their excess and deficiencies. I click preview, and you'll see a sheet pop up, and you'll see that number, 533747. So again, the budget's very transparent. We don't pull the numbers out of the air. You can follow the lineage right through. Let's see, where else am I going? Back to the sources of funding on page 13. And I'm going how we spend our money. The bottom half of that screen. So the bottom half, that's the district leadership and administration, went down a little bit. We had a longtime business manager, Russell Cobris, for 28 years. He retired, a new person stepped in, which lowered that amount, okay? Instructional services went down, that came to the reduction in force. In order to help balance the budget, we needed to have some reductions in force. Student services went down slightly. People, transportation we talked about. Plant operation and maintenance stayed stagnant. It went down about 6,000, but pretty much the same. Again, this is a very thin budget. This is where we get decked, okay? Retirement contributions go from 583 to 814,000. Insurance active employees go from the previous year of 1.584 million and then to 1.775 million up to 2.4 million almost. So in that same year, we're dealing with insurance retirees, start with 551, but then go to 632, and now up to 816,000. Non-employee insurance jumped a little bit by about 40 grand, and there's your hit. It's a pretty big one, impossible to overcome because you can't plan for that. We are researching, we have insurance brokers in, we're doing due diligence to the process. So we are in the process with our insurance advisory group to see what other alternatives that we may explore. So right now we haven't definitively done that, but we are on the pathway to that, which will be much better financially, not only for the district, but it will provide at least the same insurance, if not better. So we're gonna be really exploring those options. And so for the town of Heath, I think that helps you understand kind of where we currently are, what we can expect for next year. And at this time, I'll take any questions.
Ned?
Yes.
I'm Wolf on the
Finance Committee.
Okay, all right.
So I want to thank you for your explanation and for the quality of the budget booklet, which is...
You can see that?
It was on my laptop.
Oh, you had it, okay.
I mean, the clarity and the thoroughness, and it's great.
Thank you.
And my question, you may have answered by mentioning the factors of insurance, but I looked at the assessment to the towns, the operating assessment, and that first table, the sources. And while the number of students enrolled overall in Franklin Tech has been going up steadily in an impressive way, you mentioned that one drop, but that really doesn't deter from a steady
correct
sort of the corresponding operating assessments, of course, have been going up.
Sure.
But it's the rate at which they go up in recent years. From 23 to 24, it's 200,000 increase. From 24 to 25, 200,000.
Yep.
From 25 to 26, 400,000 increase. And from 26 projected 27, 500,000.
Right. Yeah.
So that's almost all insurance?
Well, for this coming year, it has been, yes. Yeah. It's, you know, we worked with Senator Comerford and at the time Natalie Blay, and they're struggling because they've been working with the Hampshire Trust too, and they've been doing audits for them, trying to help all of us out. And it's just been a few dead ends, and they've worked hard for us. I can't believe the amount of work that they put in to try to help us out. But unfortunately, that's where we're at. It's just not a good situation on that. And then you can couple that with the limited reimbursement of Chapter 70 state aid to the schools has not at the same percentage it was 3 or 4 years ago. If you look at that same chart and scroll down a few line items, you'll see Chapter 70, this part's amazing. I'll just scale this for you. This part to me. Chapter 78, 2023 to 2024, $500,000 increase. Then prior to that, from 2021 to 2023, which isn't on the chart, we had $400,000 to $700,000 increases. Then all of a sudden, we get to 2024, even though this is when we knew the formula changed. So this is when we started hitting a budget crisis. 2024 says $5,957,000 in Chapter 78. And the next year we received $6,017,000, a slight increase of like $20,000. Yet our enrollment went up by 12. So how did they calculate for that when each per pupil expenditure for their enrollment is $10,700 at that time? So they didn't give us the money, they put it elsewhere. We have no idea, and we weren't the only school district that increased enrollment and lost Chapter 78. So a lot of this stuff is just inequities. We're way out here in the western part of the state. I don't think the people inside 128 even could name 10 towns out here. They don't know who we are. And it's evident in what they're giving us compared to the urban school districts, when everyone who increased enrollment there got what their allocation should have been. So big concerns on my part. I've been speaking out about this, so you're not my first speech on this, but I've been doing it to the legislators and everyone else. It's just not really good news. So that, I'm glad you brought that up.
How many students can go to Tech?
We can take around 672. We currently have 653 total. We come in and out of district. And where our new facility that we're proposing to build is going to be built for only 600. And why are we doing that? Because if we build it for 800, we could probably fill it for 800. That's not the point. The point is we have to be very sensitive and aware of our member towns and the declining enrollment. So we are the first VOTEC school that's actually building it smaller than our actual current student population. In the MSBA projects, we are the first one to do that. The difference between a 600 person school and a 700 person school is $80 million. Why are we gonna go an extra $80 million? We'll figure out a way to fit the kids in there. You know, it's still gonna be a larger school per square footage because of the new regulations, the new OSHA regulations, our vocational shop, the square footage per student has gone significantly up when our building was first built. So we say 600, but we have a larger square footprint. You know, if we have kids that, I mean, we're gonna make sure that our member school districts are taken care of first, and we can probably estimate that that number is gonna slowly decline. And it, as it should, we need to take care of our member school districts that do a great job, and yet they suffer from the declining enrollment. And so if we build a building too big, no one's gonna be able to afford it. It's already a ridiculous amount of money. For the town of Heath, just to give you a quick snapshot, it will be about $88,000 for the 30 years. So it's a lot of money, right? And it only goes up based on that equal valuation formula with the relative property and population, and they change that every 2 years slightly. But you know, there's other towns that are paying a lot more. So that's where we're at. It's not the perfect type of situation. We are in a situation with our proposed new building that happened about 8 years ago, when we started to continually replace the failing electrical switch gear. And if we were told if we didn't have it on standby, a brand new one on standby for a replacement, we would be out of school for up to 2 months until one was built. That just didn't bode well with us. So we went out, hired a company, and had one on standby. They delivered it on Wednesday. Friday night, the lights flickered and didn't come back on. Company came in, installed the new switch gear, and we were back running within 24 hours and not 2 months later. That was important. So we went out and bought another one for another $150,000. And now we are on our third one for another $150,000. I mean, the building looks beautiful on the outside. The kids and staff have done a great job taking care of it. But structurally, it's costing a lot of money. To get our building up to code, and this is outside estimators, we made sure they were gonna be on the outside, it's $103 million with no money reimbursed from the state. That's just to get up to code, same square footage, same problems. You're still gonna pump money into it even when you get up to code. It's the same building. To get a brand new facility, it would be $120 million. So, and that will go for a 30-year bond, and when you have a 20-year reprieve, it's supposed to last like 50 or 60 years. If you go and try to get up to code at $103 million, there's no reimbursement money, and you're only allowed to get a certain lifespan of a bond, because the bond companies aren't gonna pump good money into an old building. So they give you a 15-year bond, maybe a 20-year bond, so you're actually paying more money to get up to code per year, and when that 15, 20 years is over, is the next round of bond to keep the building up. So it's a never-ending cycle. So unfortunately, we're in this type of situation. You might have read in the newspaper, we did have a power outage and we had to send the kids home. Fortunately, the whole switchgear didn't fail. It was a component of the switchgear, so they were able to be placed apart and we were back up the next day. So these things are gonna continue to happen. And so back 8 years ago is when we applied for the MSBA, because we started to run into these problems. We're thinking, here we are, it's going nowhere fast. So that's where we are on the building front.
The chart in here, it's our page 41, it's Appendix C, Franklin County Schools Enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
Enrollment for all Franklin County Schools, grades 9-12, that's mm-hmm. current, is that right now?
That's all up to date. That is, and you're gonna have fun with this one. Click that link, right, down below. That will take you to every single town that is a membership of those regional school districts, add them all up, and you're gonna see these numbers are exact. That's the exact numbers. And I make sure that I double check it before I can vouch for it. So I saw those numbers myself.
Impressive. Eye-opening. Everybody should look at the chart at some point.
It's my favorite page in that whole booklet. I open it right to that every year.
Yeah, there's a lot of other good nuggets. I mean, I have my favorites, but that's not one of them.
Well, it's interesting to see where students are going now.
Right.
Which seems very different from what we might think is the reality.
Right.
With such a high number, well, the highest number going to the test.
Rick, maybe you could talk a little bit about the enrollment in Heath, because you mentioned there were three people in the example that you used,
yep.
And it got up to 9. And now we're, how many, 19 to 21?
Yeah, you're 19, yeah. And you'll be 22 next
22.
Year.
So most, 7 of those are ninth graders. So they're going to, that number is going to.
6. So
six.
6
of them are.
No, currently, coming in, we got 6. I don't know how, and we have, I believe, might have 3 ninth graders right now, I'm not sure, but the total enrollment is 19.
Yeah,
so 3 of them are seniors, and then there's like sophomores is 7 and 6, there's 13, 16, so there must be 3 freshmen, right? That makes sense.
So that, if that number is a bigger wash at the beginning, and they're gonna be there for 4 years,
mm-hmm.
That number's not going to go down real quick. You're graduating 3 and then 4.
Right, and then the following year we graduate, well, it will go down in the next year or two when you graduate 6 and then you graduate 7, and then if we have a larger, if the lottery's not offset by some of the other towns' allocations, then only 2 are coming in from Heath. So those numbers will start, they could drop like a rock within 2 years.
Which would send the price per pupil up.
A little bit, but it has to be everybody.
Right.
So the fortunate thing that we have is we have an overall enrollment that's healthy. You know, so individual towns won't throw it out too much.
I think, though, that it's interesting to think about the fact that if you're looking at those numbers, when the lottery's in place and there's a limitation created by a lottery,
mm-hmm.
it is not necessarily what is the location for which kids are choosing to go. at that point, it's being, they could be limited. The kids are limited by the lottery, right? So
absolutely.
It's not saying that there no longer is the interest that is driven by grades that have 6 or 7 or 8 kids in it. It's
right.
that it's held back. Those numbers are held back by, potentially held back by the lottery, depending on who those kids are, obviously. But it's
well,
not a clear picture of somebody's, of a town's lack of interest or the people. It's,
bingo.
It's,
right.
It's
not,
certainly not
it
clear
is not the indication
as to what
of a student, a parent, or a town's interest
right.
of
right.
going to it. It's just the lottery's restrictive. But it's restrictive in a sense that I think, I'm going to say it here publicly, again, did I say it's my retirement year? I can say it, right? The concern is, it's a safety issue. So someone, we had criteria that was outlined by the department. We review attendance, school discipline, interview process, recommendations, you know, and their grades. Now none of that counts, right? So you go through a lottery system where you're not having that accountability at all, and you're putting 14 and 15-year-old students with machines that can take your arm off very quickly. You got big torches in the welding shop. You got, so there has to be a level of independence away from direct supervision. We don't have a teacher for every single student, right? There has to be some pre-employability skill criteria to keep not that person safe, but everyone else in the shop. So if you have a student with a history of getting kicked out, impulsive behavior, violence, throwing chairs, throwing objects, doing that kind of stuff, normally wouldn't get into the Franklin County Technical School, if I'm going to be honest. That student is now going to be in our building. And having said that, it's just a matter of time before there's a lawsuit against the Department of Ed because of the lottery. It's just a matter of time.
Was
I'm going to
there,
call it right now.
Was there a chart in here, and I'm sorry if you said so,
yeah.
That tells per town how many kids wanted to get, applied to get in?
No, there's not one for the applicants, no. I can tell you those numbers, but we don't have the number of applicants. I can, you know, I pretty much have those numbers, but we don't have a special chart for it.
I think that as we as, you know, for the select board, at least, when we're thinking about how we communicate about education and think about education, and I think that's an important number to know, following up on what I said before, and not just from Heath.
I agree.
I'm talking about in totality, how many children really would choose to go to a technical school and are not able to because of something that holds them back like a lottery. I'm not talking about behavioral issues
necessarily, but there are
kids who may not be able to because of a lottery cap. And because I think it's an important piece when you're talking about how the towns move forward and what, where we put our energies and our efforts in talking to any school district that we have to work with.
So here's a likely scenario that impacts the towns, which irritates me. Like I said before, it only takes a few people to move in or out, but it also only takes a few students to throw out the budget of a small town. Here's how that could impact us. We already have several students whose father was an electrician and father before that, and everyone in the family have gone through tech, and this student definitely wants to join the family business, didn't get in. A student, no discipline, no nothing, and we have several of those. So what happens if you're from a Corrine or Heath and that's your child and you're that parent? You're going to send them to Smith Volk. What?
Well, they can't, or if it's already something that we... That
yes, they can.
Offers.
If that kid didn't get in...
They can now change...
And if they qualify, so there's that little loophole. Now what the town of Heath is paying is a $65,000 transportation cost. You know, in some worst case scenarios, as low as maybe as 40,000, then they're going to be paying the tuition cost of 20-something thousand. So you're paying 60,000 no matter what for that one student.
So
there's
that,
the problem.
Did that change with this lottery thing coming in? Because
no.
My understanding was
right.
It was if the program wasn't offered, for instance, forestry, ag,
there's
to
a waiver form with the Department of Ed that if you didn't get into your vocational technical program of choice or whatever, and you were going there for that particular reason, you could explore another shop that might have that open. So there's a waitlist, they gotta fill them up, but I don't think the Department of Ed's declined one of those yet. So it's a financial burden that hits small rural towns once again at an inequity of the larger towns that can afford to do it.
And it's a conversation that we are, may not be providing the opportunities which young folks really need to be able to take a step, you know, that educational step that they need. The education might not be there.
So if anyone here or that's listening online can hear me, you can tell about my reservations about the lottery. And I made no bones about it with my school committee.
I was going to say, you hadn't mentioned anything beyond the retirement thing. You had a lot of support from the school committee that voted to oppose the lottery program that's being voted on.
Yeah.
And I think we even sent somebody down to Boston to make that case.
Well, and it's not, I'm not.
Anyway, so what's happened is they've done an incredible job, the administration done an incredible job of adapting to that and making sure that those safety questions are still being dealt with. But it's taken an extra amount of staff time and an incredible amount of planning to figure out how to fit that kind of a program into mm-hmm. a tech school.
And I'm not beating up on the lottery system because I understand why it's there. I understand
yeah.
the reasoning behind it.
I do too.
I think it's a bigger thing that I'm saying that we the towns need to be looking at. I mean, yes, we're talking about tech, but we are also having to hear about the Mohawks, the regional school system.
Yeah.
And then the questions are, you know, what programs could they be providing for students? And I think that everybody has to take a look at really where students in our area, what they excel at and what the studies they want. I think people have to be more open to looking at some of these different types of educational forums.
Yeah, I really believe that's a big part of it. And it can start going more and more in that direction, which is healthy. The lottery was originally put into place because of a percentage of vocational technical schools that were not accepting kids that were getting C's, D's, or even in that case, maybe just the B's and C's. They were taking the top kids
mm-hmm.
and neglecting the kids that really need the vocational technical education that actually are smarter than some of the top kids. They just learn a little bit differently.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And so that's the, that's why it was put into place initially. And then now beginning to find out that
mm-hmm.
it's not what they thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's unfortunate.
Well, and it's hard for the industries here, the physicality, the plumbers, you know, we're down to one company locally absorbed 3 or 4 companies.
Right.
Because so you now your pool of people that you can get from, so you don't have the people, the one-to-one correlation for the journeyman to be able to get the hours and whatnot that they need. And living locally, you know, getting somebody from Greenfield or whatever to travel up here to do your plumbing or your electrical is not a viable, you know, it's, we need those resources here. And that hands-on thing, like you said, learning, people have different learning styles. And to have that and not have the access to get those if you have like a family thing, and then to have to pay to truck your kid to Smith Boat from Heath or Lowe or whatever, that's just craziness.
Well, it is exciting to see the number of kids that are from Heath and Tech. I think that's great.
Yeah,
it really is.
That's
really
good energy out this way, absolutely. And I did enjoy my ride out this way. I got a chance. You know what the concern is? Every time I come out here, it's pitch dark,
mm-hmm.
right? I got a chance to drive along the streams and the rivers, and I let like 3 cars go by me because I got to get that look, that view. And I was thinking, gee, if I had some fly fishing rods in the back, that would be it. It's just beautiful out here. I mean, I know you live out here and you see it every day, but for someone who doesn't see that every day, I'm like, wow. This is pretty cool.
I don't know that the kids who have to drive back and forth or ride back and forth the tech from here every day think that much.
Well, there's a lot of sharp turns. You got to pay attention. So that's the other concern of, you know, sightseeing and trying to drive around a curve that if you're going over 10 miles an hour, you go off the road. And,
right.
But besides that, it's a lovely area.
Does anybody else have questions?
Well, I guess I had a quick question. You mentioned that this lottery system will get two per grade, mm-hmm. right? So if next year there's guaranteed two freshmen from Heath will get in,
mm-hmm.
what if there's another two kids that live in Heath who are freshmen who also want to try? They have to hope to get the lottery ticket.
And that's what happened this year, right?
Okay.
So what happened this year is that the allocation was two. The allocation was two.
Okay.
However, there are some towns who don't use their full allocation, so we reallocate that to the other towns.
Okay.
So that's how that happens.
So bigger towns get more than two spots.
Correct.
It's just they're so small.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
So we went over the budget, we went over the lottery, we went over a little bit touch base with the new building project. Are there any other questions?
I think when's the next hearing for the new building?
Greenfield Community College, 6 p.m. May 12th. And that's with the architects, the OPMs, and the people who actually know it. I just sleep at a Motel 8 the night before, so I pretend.
Did you have a question, Will?
Yeah, I just have one more thing about the lottery. Is it's possible the lottery could be, I don't want to get in the weeds too much,
yeah.
where you could tweak it. For disciplinary problems, but automatically disqualify someone.
The only thing that does that is the state says that they fix that by those students who have received a 37H and a half violation. That means carrying a weapon to school with intent to do harm. Right? So that's happening.
Well, at least you've got a low bar.
And so 12 set students across the entire Commonwealth of Massachusetts had that going into the ninth grade. It doesn't impact us. So there's no discipline criteria is what I'm trying to say.
There should be.
Right.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks
greatly
very
appreciated.
Much.
Thank you for coming up.
When are you officially retiring?
June 30th.
Wow.
Yeah.
We wish you weren't. But
mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Thank you. Take care.
Is this your room?
Yeah.
Okay, so don't forget it.
Not you. Me.
Thank you.
Can I close the window a little bit, or?
Yeah.
Everyone should help themselves. This is from St. Man.
Okay, and what's the lemon?
Almonds.
Bye, Art. Thank you.
I was doing Tai Chi.
Couldn't
use these.
Do you guys have to call your meeting to work too?
Call meeting to order at.
What time?
We're gonna call our meeting to order at 5:49.
Okay.
8:48.
Oh, look at that. Well, do you have a we're just having a moment here. We're waiting for Elisa.
Starting with young in the town government?
Yeah, she's signing her up early. Taking my spot.
Yeah.
Oops, did I say that loud?
Oh my God. Now that, I'd be at every meeting for that.
Give her a gamble.
I don't create enough excitement for you to come to every meeting.
Not like Chloe would.
I'm so sad. Sad.
Devin, how old are the boys now?
14.
All right, well, while we're waiting for Elisa.
Is that ninth?
Ninth grade, yeah. So they're both in the fifth. I love it.
Robin, I have a question.
You should have.
Yeah, let me tell you, my kids did not get in.
When you went to Frontier, how big was
it? If my kids
Pioneer,
did not get in, how big
was
it? I would have been
only like
63
kids.
Like 12.
And mine was small, 63 kids.
That's like one class in Deerfield, one class.
So how do we Piper more kids to
be? I'm working.
That's what I heard was we need to make sure there's more kids here.
No.
I don't know. It's too late for me.
Listen, I'm not going around that wheel.
Well, you know how
I'm a grandchild now.
How
learning.
Kids, she said, how do you get more kids to eat? I said, well.
Yeah, but you know what?
You conjure them?
You conjure them. There's, when I'd be looking at that.
A man and a woman. They will be too young. That's going to take too long.
I was going to say, the sheets, it was showing that, what, we have 10 homeschoolers out of like 60 kids?
Yeah.
That's significant. That speaks volumes, is all I'm going to say.
All right, so you have.
Limited as to where, what can go to.
Where they're going. So you should have a new warrant. So that came this afternoon. I think she gave you a pile there.
It's printed. Thank you, Maya.
And the budget. And stipends and salary. You have it all, I think. And when he gets back here in a minute, moment. No rush.
Where are we starting?
No, like she had to do it. So.
Did we balance out that 5,000 that was supposedly going to assessors, which I don't ever remember asking for? Where that was reallocated to?
She has a warrant article on here that we better review.
7,500.
She's asking about the assessor's numbers. We'll get to that in our warrant review, I said.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, you want to start with the warrant? Or do you want to start with the budget? What would you guys like to do? We're pretty open.
I don't know. What do you think, Ned?
We have a...
I say budget because...
Okey
dokey. You need to say warrant fast enough.
So I don't think we have to go line by line by line again, right? We can hit the ones that people have commentary on. Is that okay?
Unless anything changed in the last week, percentage-wise, etc.
Since I'm meeting last year.
Well,
it would have gone up a little bit because I added your assessors were back in.
No. I just meant if there were any other changes that had been made.
Oh, no, I know. That's just the only one I can think of. Let me see what else.
No, but we have ones to discuss.
Yeah.
To change.
Yep.
You should be close to what you have. So I'll just take it like in chunks, and we'll hit the ones that we know we had to discuss that are highlighted. In the very first, well, the first change that was made since our last meeting was the town coordinator salary, but we explained that, so I'm assuming you guys are okay with that. You can tell me if you're not.
No, we were.
You're good. Yeah.
That wasn't a question for us.
And so we had highlighted the finance committee expense and reserve fund, just waiting to hear back from you guys on that, if you were making any changes or keeping it as is.
I thought we submitted that.
We did.
We did.
That's as is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Just confirming everything.
Okay.
And then, so assessor's expenses, that got upped to cover the software. I think we're right on that now.
Yep.
Okay.
Or
legal fees. It's not highlighted, but let's discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
So we got notification again today from council, or yesterday, I can't remember now when we saw that. Maybe it was just today. That the Vincent Road activity is continuing. We're not going to know until
June,
the middle of June or the first part of June, as to whether or not this is going to actually go to
trial.
They're going to try to settle through a number of different techniques over the next month or two, but there's a chance that it'll go to trial.
I think I won't settle.
So, well, it's getting better. It's getting better. There's only one piece of it that seems to be hanging up.
Well,
but I don't know about your zoning piece of it. I assume that that's going to go away.
It should go away.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have
so,
a legal leg to stand on.
I don't. I don't see anything else major on the horizon. We do have CONCOM. Huh? We We do have a little bit of CONCOM, what do we have, what's it called, the enforcement order we have to deal with, there's a little legal things there. But I don't know, I mean, we could gamble and bring this down a little bit. I wouldn't recommend coming down lower than 30 on it, but if you guys had a recommendation that you wanted to share about dropping that down some, I know that was one of the items you wanted to talk about at one point.
I would flat fund it.
Flat, that's fine, yeah. Like I said, I don't want
to. I just don't see the need for an increase when you haven't gone over budget this year. Things should be getting smoothed out.
I totally agree.
No, that makes sense.
And then we can see, hopefully these things are done in the next year, and then it can drop, or, start looking to see if we can find something that's more cost effective.
It's hard to drop it when you're still in the middle of legal.
Agreed.
Concerns, but hopefully we don't have new ones.
So let's bring it to 35.
Will do.
We're all good with that?
Well,
okay.
You said 30.
Well, I
threw
it out
no,
there because I
no
said
less than.
Absolutely no
right,
less
right.
than
no,
that.
No. But we're also, we were at an 8% increase, which may be more with adjusting my department's stuff based on contracts. So we were looking to lower it to more like 5%. So if this is something we're not necessarily sure we're going to be utilizing, I can't imagine it's going to increase next year beyond what it was budgeted for this year. So if we could get some of that 3% savings out of this versus something else that may need to be questioned or needed or just wanted. I mean, nobody wants legal fees.
We're at 7.56 overall, and this will take you down a little bit. You know, that's with your assessor's number in there corrected.
Right.
In the legal department, in our fees now that we have, and this is as of 3/23, so we have another warrant coming out of this. Do we pay any bills? You know?
Yes. I can tell you what I have in mind.
So we were at, we'd only expended 7,500. Of course, our expensive part's coming up in the next couple of months, so we'll see that.
But it's not going to be that
drop.
It wouldn't be another seven. You know?
No!
So I think we're in good shape.
But the problem is, nothing got resolved this year.
How much?
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to court, right, it's going to be more expensive. That's automatically more time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that would be my concern about dropping it too much is, if you go to court, that's why I would suggest just flat funding it. I mean,
anybody else? Thoughts?
Well, nothing got resolved, but there's a chance that not that much needs to be resolved, right?
Right, we're down to one issue. I mean, a chunk of this is going to get used up of what we had in this fiscal year, because this is only through what you say the end of February.
No, that's only through the end of March.
Or March.
That number is my number is about 9,000. That's through
okay.
the end of February.
Okay.
We haven't gotten.
So that's what I'm saying. So we had March, April, May, June,
mm-hmm.
and we'll have the bulk. So this existing fiscal year will probably will get hit a lot more than it is right now. But so far, it's been, our council has just been letting things dry along and just getting notification and sending them to us. There hasn't been a lot of activity on our side.
No.
We're kind of passive on this, so we have to be a little bit more active if we go to court, and that won't be until next fiscal year. So.
What are the chances it'll drag out into 28?
I don't think so.
This is Mr. Pill we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll have to, one thing or another is going to have to happen. So, like I said, definitely not less. I wouldn't go any less than 30, and if you wanted to flat for now, we could go flat and see how this plays out after we go through today and see if we're still below that, closer to that 5% or whatever it is that you're looking for.
Right, because you wouldn't have gotten billed for this stuff going to court yet.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right, but if we're at 9, I don't see us exhausting 21,000 between
no.
now and the
oh,
end
no.
of the year.
No.
So
no.
thereby, if we if the zoning piece goes away as it legally should,
which cost us money out of that 9 we've already paid,
Right, but there was stuff the prior year.
Correct.
That was much more significant.
Right.
Because that was more of the communication.
Right.
I've had no communication with Robin Stein all year.
Right.
So I had communication last year, so I
should say too, just so everybody's on the same page, I'm sorry, I should have said this at the beginning. We are gonna most likely have to do an SDM at some point in time. So there is gonna be another reason to have to go back, and that's gonna be for planning, for zoning issues. So if there's a huge bind, we do have another round at it. I don't like to do it. Nobody likes to do it, but it is out there. It's something that's gonna come down the pike, no doubt.
And if that's something that does have a financial bearing, they will need to be handling it in October, by October, the
yeah.
end of October. And
if we're going to add anything else to it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because otherwise,
I'm going to throw
in the towel and you all can figure out the mess and pick up the pieces.
No, they're going to have to jump on it. They've had, 2 years now, so we should be close to ready.
I mean, if 30 is the right number, go to 30, and then if we got room to spare, you can always bump it up.
Okay.
30.
Go 30. Yeah, I'd like to see what looks 30. 30.
Yeah.
30?
That's
kind of
where
30. 30. All right. Good combo. Thank you. I don't think we had any other questions down. So I think the next one, well, let's just double check. So technical support. I think, Mia, you've got everything in here now. You feel confident?
Yeah, I have a breakdown of everything that's included in there, if anybody would like it. But since there was some stuff that went up because new things from building-specific expense lines to the technical support town building expense lines because they weren't building-specific. There's a couple new things and extra Northeast IT expenses this year.
Building maintenance coordinator salary. So this actually is a conversation that the select board hasn't been able to go back on since we and have further conversation. The backstory to this is Tim's position is 30 hours currently. And there's been conversations going on and off about whether or not 30 hours is enough hours to care for this all the buildings. It wasn't really increased at all when this building was put onto the list for work that had to be done. Now granted, at the time that this we came over to this building and Tim was overseeing things here, including cleaning, we weren't using the other buildings as much, but we do still use them. They do still require, at this point in time, they still require oversight. He has to go in and check things. He should be doing cleanings. It was starting to feel like that there was just not enough time in the week to get everything done, especially with the cleaning draw that this building takes, all the bathrooms and the floors and everything. So if people remember, I had brought up some time ago the possibility of maybe continuing conversations, talking to a cleaning company to see what it would cost to have a cleaning company come in. We haven't fully gone through that whole conversation. Then there was a conversation about, well, maybe Tim, since he's only 30 hours, would appreciate moving up his hours. And those conversations started and haven't really been finalized. Mia spoke with him, Mia and I spoke with him, Elisa has now spoke with him. What we found out is during his time, his 30 hours, right? Is he doing the mowing during or as part? So he does 30 hours of his normal building maintenance oversight project job, excuse me. And then he has been mowing in the summers here because this location has not been part of the mowing contract that the town has. So, and he's been doing that and getting paid through the mowing line item separately.
Same rate?
I'm not sure. We don't have that answer yet because this is something we just are finding out.
Around the same rate, if not exactly the same, from what Tim was saying, we'd have to see from Tyson.
So we did, when we put out the mowing bids this year, we did ask for a price including this property, and we've only gotten one right now. back. We're still waiting. Well, we asked three. We think we'll get two.
I think we might get all three.
Okay, all right.
If we're on the third, though. We'll definitely get two.
So the one that we did get, we is greater than what we have budgeted in here. Basically, what's budgeted here is what we had in 26 with an increase, right? 5%, I think you put in or something.
Yeah.
I'm gonna look down.
It's the place
for mowing. Mm-hmm. But the one quote that we did get is a per mowing quote.
That's how it was before. Yeah.
And so I've tried to ask Tyson, we just got this. And so I've asked Tyson roughly how many mowings we get, and I'm just using 12 as a number, and I don't know why I picked it, but that's what it is. So based on this quote that we got, if we were to say 12 mowings, and it was the cost including this, it would be $18,000.
For mowing grass.
For mowing and weed whacking, and yeah. If it didn't include this, it'd be $14,400. So either way.
When you say this, you mean this property?
Yeah.
Okay.
So either way, the budget we have for mowing is too low. Unless somebody comes in lower on this than what we have, which they may. But obviously, if this is the lowest, we don't have to worry about going higher.
Mm-hmm.
But this kind of just, it all plays into this conversation together. And we, as a select board, just really haven't decided if we're going to take that leap right now to up his hours or just move forward the way things are for one more year and try to come up with a new plan going forward into the next year.
So upping his hours would not include mowing?
Well, he wants it to include mowing. That we do know from the conversation. So that would drop 18,000 to 14,400. So we would carry the 14,400 in this scenario. Say if we are upping his hours to 40, it affects the line item by, which is already included in this number you have, because you figured this at 40 in the budget.
Tim's?
Yeah.
Yeah, on the budget.
So the increase in what that is, what that looks like, is about $13,700. His salary was up just over $13,000. So it's $13,000 in the salary lineup to bring him up to 40. Could go up to any period, you know, any amount thereof. It doesn't have to be 40. I'm just saying that would be the cap. That's what's shown in here. Plus, we have to go up in the mowing. Or we keep him where he is, remove mowing from his plate, increase the mowing line item.
So,
either way, it's a lot more money than what we have figured.
Is the mowing expense?
And then the question is still about the cleaning.
Is the mowing expense that he's getting paid out of the town highway, out of that budget?
It comes out of the lawn mowing one down there, four lines down.
Okay, so that's part of that.
You should know that for some reason it appears that nothing was mowed. I mean, maybe it was just because it was so hot last summer, but there was not many. We've only spent like $3,000-$4,000.
No, it's because you could sit here and it was a jungle out there.
Oh.
We didn't mow on
our. I was going to say, we mowed a lot last year up here. Not in this building, but I live up the road. It was a lot of mowing.
Yeah, but it wasn't here. I mean, there isn't a regular.
No, it was tall grass out here.
Right. I mean, we all know that. This was not mowed at all, really. But down, every once in a while, it was hayed. And then down there, it was mowed more often because of the use of the fields.
So then, well then I guess an important thing to know is that we made sure that these quotes included everything at this building, including all the string trimming that's supposed to be done. There wouldn't be any haying back here.
So it's basically this quote, Jacobs Road Municipal Center, every 2 weeks mowing and trimming was $300.
So I guess I've got to kind of wrap my head around this because God love nothing, taking the person out of this. This is purely financial because people get all sentimental with their stuff. We, when you do lawn mowing and cemetery, you're paying that person to bring their own equipment,
yes,
their own string trimmers, their
yes
own ferrous mowers,
yes,
their own gas, fuel, all of that.
Yep.
So that cost includes all of that.
Yes.
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 Exhibit A, yes.
Exhibit A, correct. So depending on what we get for others, we then have to provide that equipment.
Fuel
and all of that. String trimmers, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. We have to then deal with the taking them to get them fixed to either Brown's or, you know, wherever we're taking them. So wouldn't the amount of increase be significantly different because we're not paying for the insurance, the liability, the gas, the fuel, the all of that? You're paying an hourly rate with a piece of equipment. I don't care for, and we're also mowing 5 months out of the year versus 12. So when I look at the difference in the salary line to mowing line, I just have to ask those questions, and I hope everyone else is as well.
We are, and that's exactly why we haven't gotten to an answer yet, because all of this just came, so we had no idea what the quotes are gonna be from an outside source to do any of this until today.
Well, and then I also, on top of what Alice just said, the increase in salary, again, not the person, everything that's going on here, the increase in salary from 40 to 55, and that's supposed to be also the mowing shouldn't be the same hourly rate in my world than it is for somebody who's in charge of building maintenance. That would be two separate things, and that's how I would view it. But so I would like to know a breakdown of a rate for what they're charging your quotes. Because you just said 300 every 2 weeks for here, but then what's...
It's 1200 for the other two buildings. So what does
well,
that...
Well, no. That's not, the mowing is much more than that. South Cemetery, North Cemetery, Center Cemetery, Jacobs Road, and the Town Common. Excuse me, Town Common.
That adds up to the 1200.
That is, so it's 1500 per mow.
Including
yeah. And I just pulled 12 out of,
right.
I think they start once before Memorial Day. So that's like in May. And then I went June, July, August, September, October. I was at 11. I said, let's go 12.
Right. Yeah, so it'll be a couple months where there's two.
Well, that's what I said. I went two for each month.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Well, but yes, there could be a third, and if it's dry, it drops off or whatever. And so I just pulled 12. It could be 11. It could be 13.
But
I had to pull something.
Also, back to, again, the purely financial is that, piggybacking on what Wendy's saying, that rate should not be the same because I can jump on a mower. I can run a weed whacker. I'm not changing water filters and adjusting heating systems. There's a different skill set which should come with a different pay grade that would go with that. So I think including it in Tim's, if you don't have a definitive way, and I also think cleaning, like bathroom toilets, I can scrub a toilet. If somebody get me a toilet brush, as I've said 100 times, it would just be nice to have them clean.
So
and that should not be at a building utility maintenance cost.
So that brings us to the crux of the beginning of the conversations with Tim, is that the building maintenance coordinator job description encompasses everything. So the job description is one of the descriptions we're going to have to review in the next year and probably redo, because it's too broad, and like you said, there's too many different levels of work,
right?
Of which, in reality, if he were to do all of this, he doesn't have enough time in 30 for
right.
all the
so
buildings.
So the maintenance coordinator should be focused on maintenance,
oversight of the buildings.
Right.
There should be a check-in every
right.
Well, I think he does almost every day. He drives around to the buildings, but you know, there should be very specific tasks. Getting prices for the repairs, overseeing contractors who have to come in, updating the select board and finance committee, and you know, talking through all these, coming up with even possible alternative ways of funding larger projects, helping us with looking for that type of stuff. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm totally good
better
at paying that pay.
Right.
for that level of work. I'm not great with it scrubbing a toilet. Like I said, somebody get me a toilet brush and I'll be in there because it's not pretty some days. Nothing personal, but.
So, one, I mean, we're surviving the way things are, short of the fact that there isn't a steady mowing process here at this building. So, my last thought, and I want to hear everybody else's opinion on this, but my last thought was maybe for this year, we keep it as it is, and then really go through his job description in the next year and appropriately, you know, make the changes that we should. And then as far as the cost for mowing this building, I guess that's a discussion about whether we add the additional money to the lawn mowing line and therefore it goes to the outside mower, and or whether we have Tim do the extra hours with the equipment we have for this year and then reassess it next year.
As summertime when you do the highway.
Right.
So it's 300 extra for all around the building and down to the field?
All the way to the tree line.
Just not a bad number.
Oh, I don't think it's a big,
it's a
rate, the whole campus.
I said in the property lines, I said everything that's not trees.
But I think our mower is going to need to be upgraded because that Ferris is all, you know, it's not
if
that.
If he were to keep doing it.
Absolutely.
No, but we're talking about if we contract the extra for this building too. $300 for the outside contractor to do all of this.
No. But what I'm, no, it's a tiny number. But I also think that that mower, based on this position here, is not going to be sufficient if that's the long
if we
term.
Were to add it if
we,
it's the long,
if
next
this
year.
If we can milk
yeah.
this
yeah, yeah,
through
yeah.
to next year, I think what's my vision is if it's going to be something that Tim's going to do and become part of either a separate line with whatever or part of his job description, is that next year with free cash, if we have any, that we would purchase a much larger piece of equipment that would handle this building at a much, I mean, to sit there with a, you know, 52-inch mowing deck is not, and it's used, and it came from Mohawk when we took over the school. The thing's 10 years old. You know, I get it's an industrial mower, but it's still, anybody who knows anything about mowing knows that ain't gonna last too long.
So we
I'm
could.
I'm just saying I wouldn't go in that direction at all. I would contract it out at that price. Mm-hmm.
Well, what I'm thinking is we could keep Tim's, keep it at the salary as it is, well, with his COLA.
Mm-hmm.
COLA, and then we're gonna have to up the mowing for the budget, and then we see what comes in for other quotes, and then the select board has to figure out, you know, whether we don't have to up it to the 18, like pick a number, like, so let's bump it to 15, and we just gotta make it work. Whether we end up giving it all, you know, if we have to do a little bit of both, or are we just going to make it work for this year, live
right.
through this year, and then have this on the horizon as something we have to attack with the job description and the possibility of cleaning service and mowing. Really, really start looking even for more bids on the mowing, see how it goes. It's kind of like saying, okay, well, we're going to increase it by 5, but we're not really going up to the 8.
Is that bid the one we usually get?
Nope.
Oh.
You can send that down.
I was going
to
say, is it from
Charlemagne? No, from me.
Oh. I don't think we went to bed last year.
Probably not. I was going to say, there's a particular person that Colleen uses that might not be such a bad option to explore.
And if you have other people, that's what I'm saying, like, we don't have to lock into this yet. We just got to put a number in there.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I
just find it interesting that we've never looked and, like, pulled up the phone book. I don't know. It's like we put it out to bid, but we don't talk to the people that are local landscapers to see whether it be something, because they don't have to drive as far, you know, and it's guaranteed pay.
I think we did look for bids last year.
This is the highway superintendent's job, is what I think.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I know this person did not get contacted, so.
Sure, Devin.
So the road crew, it's not a job that they can do. They are already at max of what they do in the summertime. They don't have extra time that they could come and mow and use the equipment we already own. And it's part of your 40 hours a week salary or whatever. I don't know.
Grasshoppers. I think we should get grasshoppers.
It depends. It depends on who you ask direct.
Seriously.
Goats.
Goats.
Coyotes.
What's happening up here?
We're talking about goats. We're so excited.
Sorry, Debbie. You just got back.
It probably depends on the projects they have for the summer. Maybe they're too busy. But I just wondered if I'm not saying they're sitting around. I don't want to say that. But okay, get out there and mow the lawn.
It's a lot of mowing.
Okay.
Maybe we can add it to Jonathan's Hilltown Youth Program. We can have landscaping.
Be like a sub-tech school.
It is actually, at one point in time, when we started using this facility, the highway department was being asked to do it. And it did get done for a while. And then, yeah, it's just something that I guess they're not feeling that they can do. Really?
Well, one of the problems that what Devin just said makes a lot of sense. One of the problems would be if there's some unexpected big project that comes up in the summer, then all of a sudden they can't get to it. And we have, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Plus, we don't have the right equipment.
But we got great.
There has been conversation in the past that yes, we would have to make sure we had appropriate equipment, and there'd be an upfront cost. And we did go through that process a couple of years back where I know Barbara was saying, yes, you did, Robin, because I remember it. And actually, I do too, which is hard to believe. But we went through the cost of the mowers and the string trimmers and the time. And it didn't really wash out when you figured out. The cemeteries are the tough one.
Yes.
Because, they're time consuming. And there is you gotta be careful around the stones and
which I was very surprised. This goes back to why we inherited these things.
I have asked this for years.
Because this has come up in Leiden.
It's coming up everywhere.
It is coming up everywhere.
Because some cemeteries and towns have a perpetual care fund and people donate to it. And local landscapers donate their time, or they do a lower rate. They break it up. Different landscapers do different cemeteries within a town. So it's all different. But way before me, this is the way this has been happening. So, and there were some monies that are set aside in different accounts that I always asked, could they be used for the mowing? But I guess they're specifically not for mowing. It's for upkeep, but not mowing.
Cemeteries, the Community Association of Rivers, Northwest Massachusetts, Western Massachusetts, they do all those trust funds, and they have donors who will give you money, and you never get to find out who the donors are.
Can we get that?
We did. So just the other, remember that check we couldn't figure out what it was for?
That came from that.
I called today, and they said that an anonymous donor has chosen to put whole bunch of money in this fund that every single year we're going to start getting a check for the maintenance of North, South, and Center cemeteries. And this year the check was $3,232.
So can't we get Chris to put that into a Bartholomew? Well, that's the name of an investment company.
Oh, is it?
So yes, so they put the money in to make it grow, and the interest then can be the dividends that can offset the cost.
Right. We'll have to find out more about this. We'll have to get the
I know. I only just found it a few hours ago. They're sending me the actual word letter in the mail.
Right. So we'll get more info on top of that.
Was it from the Community Foundation?
Well, it was, but they have, people give them the money. They
right. No, I'm well aware.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know. It was.
I should know who contacted you, but some of those funds come in.
They didn't
I'm
contact
wondering.
Us. They just sent us a check. I didn't know where it was from, so I called
if
them.
It was actually for the restoration of stones.
It
not,
might be.
Not so much for grass cutting.
We'll see once we get the
letter in the mail.
Okay. Which would be perfect, because it's one of those things that I wanted to take a look at, if everybody remembers.
I know.
As soon as I could breathe on other things, I wanted to be looking at that.
I know. My wish list.
So
I'll get
what
there.
I would really love?
I'll get there. I know.
Is a whiteboard. because these things continue to come up at the end of the year. We say we were gonna talk about them, they end up like dragging them because I say I wanna have it done early. And then the next thing you know, we're right up against the deadline again because we didn't get to this. Or we talked about it last year, or 2 years later. Just, let's get a whiteboard. Like a big whiteboard where the select board and the finance committee can put up things that we're working on actively or want to and where we're at so that everybody's on the same page and it doesn't get-
Flips, so when this isn't a select board meeting room, something else. You know, those ones that, they're the rolling ones that go.
I don't care if it's in the front office, it doesn't necessarily-
The touchy ones are the murder board.
Murder board.
I'll put in this room.
All right, so how about, are we good with this thought?
So we're, so to recap-
Well, he was 30, I'd like to at least go to the 32.
Okay.
If we can all agree to that, to move him to 32 hours.
With the COLA.
And then add the COLA.
With the COLA.
And then in the lawn mowing, 15,000? Question mark, question mark, question mark?
And that includes here.
Yeah.
I would go with the 18 unless you get a better quote. That's the real, right? Or you think you can, you, well, that's 10 mows. 15,000 is 10 mows.
Rolling
so
the dice.
If we have to go more than 10 mows, we're going to call for volunteers.
Or Tim has to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. If we end up with, I mean, if we go with 15, and we don't get a bid below 15, then we know we've got to mix and match things to make it work.
And hopefully we get another bid soon.
I
so we'll know.
Almost definitely getting one more.
Okay, so we should have, so I say we go 15, roll the dice, keep it low, see what they come. If the other ones are higher, then we go, we got to put it up to 18.
And if people get up at town meeting and say,
we can do it for less?
We don't want that. Then we say, get your weed whacker, come visit your loved ones, and trim around.
Right.
We're gonna be in the cemetery.
Trim your own relatives.
Watch out for ticks.
And watch out
for
ticks.
Yeah, because we don't have any spray in here.
We're in Florida health.
All right, perfect. And the only other one I see on this page that was a question mark, I think, Sawyer Hall. You guys had a question about that? Did the explanation make sense?
So we're up 15% on Sawyer Hall now. What's the extra 2,000 for?
Bless you.
So this is a bigger conversation. This just goes into the revolving fund conversation that will come up. Did you guys talk about that, Alice, as a finance committee?
We heard you guys talked about the revolving funds. They need to go away.
Right, and I do think that we should, in theory, go up more because we do know we have renters coming in. And since that money is not gonna come back to be a easily accessible slush fund, we're gonna need to make sure we can cover heat and fuel and everything else for that building. Since we have tenants, it'd be nice to be a good landlord.
So, yes, so we were going as a town in one direction, and at this annual town meeting, everybody is gonna agree that we're gonna go in a different direction. The direction we had was establishing revolving funds for buildings to take some monies into, and then use those monies for whatever we thought we needed to. Not necessarily for the everyday maintenance, the electricity, the oil, the utilities. That money was coming from the general budget in these lines down here. The thought behind a revolving fund is, and Alice says this so fluidly, the money comes in and the money goes out for the purpose for which, in essence, it came in for. The revolving fund isn't necessarily a fund that just is a catch-all for different monies that come in, and then the select board gets to just decide where that gets spent. If you're gonna have money coming in, so this now, we knew that we were gonna be taking more lease money in for Sawyer Hall. So this year, we were gonna have to create a revolving fund for Sawyer Hall if we continued with the pattern of which we had in the past handful of years. Mm-hmm. More transparent, better just moving forward, makes more sense to take the monies that we're raising at the different buildings and just submit those. They come into different accounts, but within the general fund, and that money is in the general fund, and in essence is going back to support the buildings through this whole budget process. So the budget line items now have to definitely cover all of the maintenance that we know of for those buildings, or that we can predict.
Yep.
Because we're going to be, we have a new lease that we're adding to that building, and because we were so tight on the last year's budget for Sawyer Hall, we felt it prudent to increase it and then put a little padding in, because we're not going to have any other pot of money to dip into for any type of maintenance or utilities that could possibly increase in that building. We don't know how the lease is going to make things work. But over the next period of year, we'll have a good idea of what it's going to look like, and then we can adjust it the following year.
So the money's
we're afraid of going over the budget on that building.
So the money's that come in for each of the buildings will essentially end up in free cash, because
yes.
you don't have a way to spend them.
Correct.
But you could allocate them the following year from free cash against the budget for that building.
Well, you could allocate them into a the stabilization account. Because we'll still have,
there you go.
Because okay. we're still going to have stabilization accounts, and those are going to be what has to fund all of our mid-size to major repairs for any building.
Yeah.
Right. So as a group, we're going to have to remember that we have to keep funding that building, the stabilization account. The transparency for the voter comes in that we have to ask them or tell them this is what we need to do to care for the building. Can we please take money out of stabilization to pay for that?
People who are renting, leasing, can they use the stairs, or do they need the elevator? That's what they
I think they can use.
I think after moving in, is the elevator? Yeah, the elevator is working right now, I assume.
Yeah.
So just elevators are.
Yeah, we just have the inspection.
Typically.
Mm-hmm. It'd be awesome.
No, the person who is there can use it. Use the stairs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was why we increased it a little bit.
I don't know, they might need to increase a little bit more, which I just found out. So, you know that problem that's been happening, sounds like it's been happening on and off for the last few years, the heat doesn't stop running in Sawyer Hall?
Yeah.
In the assessor's office?
Yeah.
Yes,
oh,
we do know that.
Imagine that.
We do know that.
So,
can't imagine.
It started up again. They came out and looked at it yesterday morning, or Friday morning. I think it was Friday morning, the 10th. They're thinking right now that they're going to have to replace the whole part of the heating system that was put in when the pipes froze and go back to an older heating system that's more easily controlled by each individual zone than what the current one is.
I think they ought to look at pulling out two walls of baseboards in that office.
Yeah.
And deal with that, because you have a
there.
16 by 20 room, we'll say, with three walls of baseboards, and we wonder why we have to throw the windows open when it's...
It. So do we have a... Who said that?
I believe Tim brought out white heating. But white heating brought somebody, like some other contractor with him, because he... I don't know. I have to talk to Tim more about it, but...
Yeah, I'd like to...
Just so we're aware.
I'd like to hear what that is.
Or
well,
do we do something like just a mini split in that room?
Well, and I
that
think
would more than suffice.
So I think
it's the hall upstairs now.
Oh, it's the whole. Well,
in the town offices room. So it would be the DOT guys who are renting the office emailed us and were like, "We're dying in here," and they're like, "We don't want to open the window. We used
no,
to get jailed for that
window.
In our other building. Like, it's
but
a
the
million
other
degrees."
Room.
I went over there in the town offices room. The temperature on the thermostat system is like 95, 97. Insane. It's
that
in,
building has
running.
Been a problem since
thermostats
day one.
Were set to zero. It's just running.
Well,
I was up there today and it was hot as hell up there.
Mm-hmm. So why aren't we just shutting it down?
We can't. They can't either. Tim can't fix it.
I don't understand how we got all these buildings where we can't shut the heat off.
I don't understand everything.
You can't shut the heat off in here. I don't understand this. I've never been able to shut the heat off. How old am I and I've worked in construction for how long? I've never known you can't just shut the heat off.
Well, it's no
I'll shut it off.
It's no different than any of the other ones. My office, some days I walk in there and it's 48. Other days I walk in there and it's 102.
All right. I would like to be circled in on that conversation.
I was only just circled in on it verbally.
Well, I was going to say Glenn would be the one who, Glenn is who has handled it for as long as I can remember.
I'm pretty sure it was Glenn. I mixed up his heart right here.
Let's keep it as is for now. And I'll see if we can find something out. I mean, if it were something major, I mean, technically that's where that stabilization account would be looked at. And we could do it in an SDM if we had to, I guess. Depending on how quickly something needs to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
Or we have to add something in this year if we find out quick enough. Anything else on this page?
I just recommend under insurance, property, casualty,
yep,
workers, that we take that whole line of explanation out and just say insurance premium increases. We don't need to line out what is what because we're not breaking out Sawyer Hall and Community Hall. It's just insurance premium increases because that's really been,
mm-hmm,
I think anybody knows that that's an ongoing thing.
Are these notes going to be in the final Article 3?
Well, I think
that's another question for you guys.
There's an explanation page, and most of these type things usually go on to that. So I would like
limit.
No. Less is more.
Yeah.
Yeah,
then
we'll work on that still.
Then it's going to be, well, how
we'll
much
work on that across the board, too.
For this?
Yeah.
It's insurance premium increases.
Yeah.
Short and sweet.
Okay. Anything else on this page? Okay. Line number one. Police department salaries. So at our last meeting, the select board's last meeting, the select board members were supposed to finalize their opinion as to whether we were going to increase by an additional, whether we were in agreement about increasing for an additional 80 hours of patrol time. And we know there's been conversation about the coverage at the fair that's come up. We'll bring that up. Alisa agreed to meet with John, Chief John, and did so this weekend. And I think he confirmed, if I'm correct, that those 80 hours would definitely be all patrol. That's what he was asking for, right?
Yes, they would be for patrol, specifically during the months of, April to October, when people are more apt to drive a little bit faster than during the winter months.
Will he be trekking up on Sadaga Road now that the snow is
probably not?
Get a lot of speeders up there in that dirt road?
You have no idea. Let me tell you, people go by my house at 45, 50 miles an hour coming down onto a corner.
So it would break down to 4 hours a week for basically 20 weeks between April and October, and targeting times of AM commute and PM commutes.
We should let you know, too, that he did get a grant. John got a grant, and it's going to give us two post-mounted
speeding
solar run, those ones that actually tell you what you're traveling and what the speed limit is, not just what you're traveling, and also a trailer mounted, one of the big sign ones. So that is coming to town. Did he tell us when?
I don't remember when he said, but they're
last
ours
to keep.
They're not.
Yeah, no, these are ours.
But
they're
ours. Do you take it as a challenge to see how high you can remember?
I asked.
Does it go to triple digits?
I asked if it was going to have the little smiley face.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I didn't
or
know.
Oh, man.
Or the little crying face when you're going too fast.
I asked him if he could do that. And he's like, just shook his head at me.
There's one in Greenfield that says thank you when you're
when you slow down.
Yeah.
That's down by my work. That's right down where you go. I drive by that every morning.
Yep.
Thank you.
Do you get a thank you?
It's never happy. It's early in the morning. You never know. So what's everybody's thought? So two things. First of all, is what you're feeling about just having more hours for patrol, period. That's like the first question. Like, what's everybody's thought about that? It's something we've been asking for. Not necessarily more hours, just more patrol.
Just more patrol.
We've been asking for more patrol.
Well, I since we don't have it worked out with the hours and what's gonna happen with the fair, which could free up some time and or hours, I say we table it till next year, and when we have time to put it on the whiteboard and deal with it properly.
I was ready to throw out, we try to do a 50-50 deal this year.
I was gonna say 40 hours instead of 80. Same thing, right?
Yeah. And I was also gonna say 50-50 with the fair.
Having
a conversation,
anything where the fair,
which then
up,
gives you the whole amount,
right? Anything where the fair could pick up some of that cost would be nice.
Yeah, I mean, that's go on for further discussion.
But then it's, you know, it's a things happen at that location that, you know, you could get to, like,
oh,
you well,
gotta,
you
got to
pay for this, you got to pay for that, and we don't want it to there either.
Right.
It's, you have to look at it a little bit more holistically, because there are aspects beyond just the police department that benefits from the fair and the fair benefits. So it needs a whiteboard.
No, I totally agree, because you guys, the fair has rental property, which is a whole income-based thing, which is questionable on taxation when you're exempt, but you're potentially profiting. You know, there's a lot of little nuances that could come up that I just think needs far more in-depth look at it versus throwing a dart right now.
Well, we could go up to 31.5.
So is the extra 80 hours the $2,700
yeah.
increase?
Well, and COLA.
And
COLA.
So if you cut it to 40 hours, you're close to 5%.
So, wait, say that again?
If you cut it to 40 hours instead of 80, you're close to 5% increase.
Yeah.
With COLA.
Yeah. I would say that's what the word's called, yeah. The extra, to answer your question, the extra monies that are in there were figured at the patrol officer rate, not chief.
Okay.
I remember him saying that.
Verbalize that.
I asked that question. He said the patrol officer, not his time.
Yep, I just want to make sure we're all...
That's what he figured when, that's what he asked for.
Mm-hmm.
So your proposal was 31.5?
Or whatever, 40 hours, you could just do it that way.
Yep.
Yep. See what it looks like?
I'm fine with that.
Way to give it a little test run.
Yeah. Got that? 40
that's
hours.
40.
That's good. Always good. You're in the
line of
fire this time.
I know. It's my job.
Yeah. All right, what else in that line? We'll just say in public safety, anything else? You all know, you saw that, we talked about the fire department clerk, we've got that added in, that's a new position.
What if we split out those emergency personnel stipends into what they actually are? I feel like calling it emergency personnel stipends is not at all what it is. Emergency personnel in my head at least is like firefighter, a police officer, not emergency management director, 911 coordinator, emergency management alternate. I don't know. Let me just put that off into their own lines better for you guys.
Well, I was going to say, we got emergency spelled wrong, we got personnel spelled
yeah,
wrong,
I'm
so all of
Dave
that is
going to
like drive me insane.
You notice that there's the extra N that's supposed to be personnel as an emergency?
Yes, I did. I did see that.
I think it could make sense to have, what's Tim's emergency?
Management director.
Management director and alternate in one line.
Yeah, that could be one line.
Are we going to talk
and
about
then,
stipends altogether?
Yeah, we will. Okay. And then the... What's the other one?
911 coordinator.
That could be separate. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And okay, we'll talk about stipends at a whole deal.
But yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
You guys okay with that?
Yeah, I'm good.
You guys over there? Yeah. Anything else in that line, public safety? Okay. Education, we'll come back to stipends. So, public works and facilities. Winter salt and sand, we've got that highlighted. That was...
Maybe we could take Avery Brook Road close to, through traffic Monday on salary department line items.
It's the most frequent code red you get.
That's
Avery Brook Road closed.
I haven't heard it, but that's okay.
So that line item went over almost 48,000. What to say about that? Well, we have bad winter. We all know that, right?
Bad winter.
I think we use more product on the roads than we have in the past.
I will say, in conversing with Leiden about the same exact subject, the exact thing that Tyson had talked about here was the same thing that they talked about. They had an overage as well on their sand and salt, and they said it was predominantly due to small storms where you had to get out before the school bus. And one of the things that they talked about was getting some continuity with the schools, because sometimes one would cancel and one would not. So they would have to go out before the school bus to get it treated. And that if it's going to be treacherous for one, then shouldn't it in theory be treacherous for both? And then they're not dealing with, then they can get out once versus getting out early to make sure the buses can come through and then having to go back out a secondary time.
Yeah, I think they have a bigger issue with that because of Pioneer and Tech versus Mohawk and Tech. Because I think for the most part this last year, Mohawk and Tech closed, I think, all but maybe one storm that simultaneously. But that has happened, that very thing.
No.
Happened.
And I don't know because I don't have kids in the school system anymore, but that did come up as a point of discussion from the highway department
in
Leiden about that particular thing.
I think that if we are going to